Good morning, friends, and welcome to the Let the Bible Speak program. This morning, we want to talk about being right with God and being sure that we are right with God. My lesson this morning is entitled, Be Sure You Can't Afford to Be Wrong. You know, there are times in life where it doesn't matter if we make a mistake or if we're wrong about something, we can correct it, and there is no lasting consequence. There's certainly no eternal consequence. We just made a mistake. Maybe we were measuring something and we measured wrong and we cut it wrong, and we've got another piece of board and we can cut it again, and that's no big deal. Or we might make a purchase and we bought the wrong thing, but the store policy has a good return policy and we're able to return it and no harm done. You know, there are a lot of things in life where when we make mistakes, it's not that big of a deal if we're wrong. But friends, if we are wrong about spiritual matters and our relationship with God, then it is a serious situation and it does have eternal consequences. I believe we live in a society where being right or correct or accurate is not emphasized like it once was. I think about school, for example, when I was young and we were being taught handwriting or longhand to write carefully, to spell carefully, to form those letters carefully and accurately. And that's not really being taught today. And there are other things like that, where people just rush through something and it doesn't matter if they're careful and correct or not. And that overflows into their spiritual relationship with God, and many just don't care if they're right one way or the other. We all make mistakes, and sometimes those mistakes are of little consequence. But when we're talking about sin and a relationship with God, that is a big consequence. And we cannot afford to be wrong. So this morning, let's talk about be sure you can't afford to be wrong. You can't afford to be wrong, friend, about your relationship with God. When it comes to spiritual matters and what the Bible teaches about things, it does make a difference. Let me give you a few illustrations before we get into our lesson. For example, in the matter of marriage and divorce and remarriage, the divorce rate is over 50% in our country, and people divorce all the time and remarry after that. That may or may not be scriptural. Some people don't even know what a scriptural divorce and remarriage is. They've never been taught. They don't want to learn that. They don't read their Bible. But Jesus said in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 9, "Whosoever shall put away his wife except for fornication and shall marry another committeth adultery." So if we divorce or put away our mate and it is not for fornication, it is not because they were sexually unfaithful, it's just because we can't get along with them or you know, it's just not working out, and we marry another, we commit adultery. And no adulterer can be in heaven without first being forgiven. That's a serious thing, and yet it happens all day long, every day in this country. There are things that people do that are going to put them in a wrong relationship with God, and it's a serious consequence. In Matthew chapter 22, when Jesus tells about the parable of the Great Supper and inviting people to come, one came, but he didn't have on the proper garment, and so he was cast out. Matthew 22:11, but when the king came in to behold the guest, he saw there a man who had not on a wedding garment. And he said, "Friend, how came thou in here not having a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. Then the king said to his servants, "Bind him hand and foot and cast him out into outer darkness. There shall be the weeping and gnashing of teeth." And the lesson there is that when we're invited by the gospel, we have to put on Christ in baptism. We have to be dressed properly, not physically, but in a right spiritual relationship with God. And we put on Christ. It's like putting on that wedding garment. So that does have consequences. And if we're not in that relationship, we're cast into outer darkness. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 24 through 30, the man who was given the one talent, he did not go out and use his talents. And so He's called the wicked and slothful servant, and he's cast into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And we could go on and on and on with other illustrations. People do things and they're not right with God. We need to be sure that we are right with God. In fact, the scripture is written in such a way that we can be sure. And the Bible writers talk about how that they want us to read what they've written so that we can be sure that we are right with God. Let me give you a few examples of that. For example, Luke writes in Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, that he wrote a narrative, and he was writing to Theophilus. And he says, I wrote unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that you might know the certainty concerning the things wherein you were instructed. Luke wanted Theophilus and others who read his book to be certain. John, in John 19 and verse 35, John was at the base of the cross when Jesus was dying on the cross. And John writes, and he that hath seen, he's talking about himself, he that hath seen hath borne witness, and his witness is true. And he knoweth that he saith is true, that you also may believe. John wants to write so that those can read his message and see the truth and believe the truth, where we can be certain that what we're believing and reading in the Bible is the truth. It's based upon eyewitness testimony. Peter is another example. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16, Peter said, he and the other apostles, we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And so we have what they wrote. And then in verse 19, the word of prophecy, we have the word of prophecy made more sure or certain based upon that eyewitness testimony. John writes in 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, that there are many prophets, false prophets who are gone out into the world and they're teaching lies. They're spreading error and lies. And we have to be on guard for that. And John writes, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He who is not of God heareth us not. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. If we read what John wrote, we can know what is true and false. If we just go by what man says outside of the Bible, we can be basing our life on error. So John says, I want you to be sure, because there are many false prophets that are gone off into the world. And so, be sure, you can't afford to be wrong when we're talking about spiritual things in our relationship with God. If we're talking about making the wrong measurement and cutting the wrong board length, that's not going to have any eternal consequences. If we're talking about accidentally buying the wrong product and then having to return it to the store, maybe the wrong shoe size or the wrong clothes size, that's not going to have any eternal consequence. But whether or not we've obeyed the gospel, that does. Whether or not we have scripturally divorced and remarried, if that's something that we've chosen to do, these are things and many other things in God's word, they are of eternal consequence. And so that's what we want to talk about this morning. And I want to give us, in our study this morning, three reasons for being sure. Three reasons for being sure that we are right with God. Number one, we need to be sure that we are right with God because the stakes are high and the consequences are eternal. You see, we're not talking about something that we can just return and have a do-over. We're talking about the judgment day and heaven and hell. And we're talking about one judgment day. We're talking about one eternal consequence. We're not given any second or third chances. There are no second opportunities in the afterlife. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, enter ye in by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many are they that enter thereby. For narrow is the gate and straitened the way that leadeth unto life, and few are they that find it. A narrow way that leads to eternal life, heaven. A broad way that leadeth to destruction or hell. Those are the only two choices we have. Eternal life or eternal destruction. Matthew chapter 25, verse 46. We will either hear, well done, good and faithful servant, or we will hear, cast out the unprofitable servant. And so, because the stakes are high and the consequences are eternal, we need to make whatever sacrifices necessary in order to be right with God. And we need to make whatever commitment is necessary, whatever sacrifice is necessary. Mark writes in Mark chapter 9, he records Jesus' words there in verse 43. And if thy hand cause thee to stumble, cut it off. It is good for thee to enter into life maimed rather than having thy two hands to go into hell, into the unquenchable fire. And if thy foot causeth thee to stumble, cut it off. It is good for thee to enter into life halt rather than having thy two feet to be cast into hell. And if thine eye cause thee to stumble, cast it out. It is good for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And so the eternal consequence of hell is a very serious thing. We need to make whatever sacrifice is necessary, and we need to make whatever commitment is necessary. Jesus said in Luke chapter 14, and beginning in verse 26, if any man cometh unto me and hateth not his own father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Whosoever doth not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Verse 33, therefore whosoever he be of you that renounceth not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. We've got to make whatever sacrifice, whatever commitment, whatever giving up we need to give up for the Lord. Because the stakes are high and the consequences are eternal. There's no do-over in the afterlife. There's no second or third opportunity to obey the gospel after we die. There are some religions that believe in reincarnation, especially the Eastern religions like Buddhism or Hinduism, and reincarnation where you come back to life and you get more time to get it right. There's nothing like that in Scripture. Sometimes our Mormon friends, for example, will teach how that you can be baptized for someone who's already dead and get them out of their eternal punishment and get them into heaven by being baptized for them even after they've already died. The Bible doesn't teach anything like that. And so we've got one life to live, and we've got to get it right before we die. The consequences are high, and the consequences are eternal. So, be right. You can't afford to be wrong. Also, a second reason that you need to be right and you can't afford to be wrong, because you only get one chance to get it right. And that's what we've just been talking about. You cannot change your condition after you die. In Luke chapter 16, we read about the rich man and Lazarus who both died. The poor man, Lazarus, he was right with God. The rich man spent his emphasis in his life on his riches and having a fine life of clothing and so forth. But they both die and they go to their reward and they cannot change it. In Luke chapter 16, beginning in verse 19, now there was a certain rich man and he was clothed in purple and fine linen, faring sumptuously every day. And a certain beggar named Lazarus was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table, yea, even the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and that he was carried away by the angels into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades he lifted up his eyes. Hades is the realm of departed spirits after we die. That's the place where we go to await the judgment day. And the rich man is in the portion of Hades called torment, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now here he is comforted and thou art in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, that they that would pass from here to you may not be able, and that none may cross over from there to us. And he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. But Abraham saith, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one go to them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they will not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if one rise from the dead. So the rich man went to torment and was in a flame. Lazarus, the poor man, went to Abraham's bosom and he was in paradise. And notice what the text says in verse 46. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, that they that would pass from here to you may not be able, and that none may cross from there to us. Our destiny is fixed. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, it is appointed unto man once to die, and then cometh the judgment. And when we die and pass from this life, we go to Hades to await the judgment. And if we're in torment, that's where we stay. If we're in paradise, that's where we stay. And so take the one life that you have, friend, that God has given you, and make it right. Take your opportunity today to make your life right with God. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2, today is the day of salvation. Repent today. Be baptized for the remission of your sins today. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God today. Make that good confession before others. You see, that's very important. You've got one life and you don't know when it's going to be over with. We see so many deaths. People pass from this life, even here in Robertson County. Their life is taken from them long before they thought it would be, long before old age. And they have gone and died and they're awaiting the judgment day in Hades. They're either awaiting in a flame or in a paradise. And so we need to be sure that we are right. Number one, because the stakes are high and the consequences are eternal. Number two, because you only get one chance to get it right. There are no returns. There is no customer service that you can go and make some exchanges and do-overs and talk about how that you made a mistake and you get sent back to life to do it again. You know, sometimes you might go to Walmart or someplace like that and you go to the customer service and you say, I got the wrong thing. And the lady takes it and says, well, just go get you another one. Go get the right thing that you need. That's not how it's going to happen, friend, in the judgment day. God's not going to say, well, go back to life and go back to earth and get you another one and do it again. It's just not going to happen like that. And so we've got to be right with God now. And then third, we need to be right. We can't afford to be wrong, because you may be taking others with you where you are going. And if you're going to the wrong place and you're taking others with you, that's a terrible thing. The thing about our life is that people are watching us or listening to us. It might be a spouse. It might be children. It might be family and friends, co-workers, others. And we are setting an example, right or wrong, before them. And people could be affected by what we're saying and doing and thinking, and we could be taking others with us to that place of torment. I think about King Ahaziah, who was king in 2 Chronicles chapter 22. And he reigned over Judah, but he was a very wicked man. And we find in 2 Chronicles 22 verse 3, he also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother was his counselor to do wickedly. And he did that which was evil in the sight of Jehovah, as did the house of Ahab, for they were his counselors after the death of his father to his destruction. See, he listened to what other people were saying, and people listened to what we're saying and doing. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, verses 5 and 6, that we're not to cause little ones to stumble. It would be better for a millstone to be hung about our neck, a big stone, and drowned in the sea than to cause someone else to stumble and keep them out of the kingdom. And so we need to be careful. All that we do needs to be setting the right kind of example for others, because we're going to be held responsible if we take someone to hell with us. You know, that word hell is used so much today as a cuss word. You hear it in music and movies and television programs, and people just use it as a cuss word. And it's a word right out of the Bible, but it's used in such a flippant way a careless way that people don't even think about the seriousness of hell anymore, and yet they use that word all the time. And if we're taking someone to hell with us, we're going to be held accountable for that. We need to be right with God. We need to be a Christian and taking those around us to heaven. I think about young Timothy's parents, his mother and grandmother, Lois and Eunice, and their faith was passed on to Timothy. And they taught him the scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, they passed on their faith to Timothy. And in chapter 3 and verse 15, they passed on the scriptures to him. And he grew up and he became a young Christian there in Acts chapter 16 when Paul came to Lystra and preached the gospel there. You see, his mother and grandmother passed on their faith to him. That's what we need to be doing. Not the wrong example, but the right example. And Peter talks about how that a woman who is a Christian can convert her husband who is not a Christian if she will live right and act right. And so in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, he talks about husbands. If they do not obey the word, they may without the word be gained by the behavior of their wives, beholding your chaste behavior coupled with fear. They look at that example, and then that's what brings them to Christ, and then they obey the gospel. And so we might be taking others with us, and we need to be setting the right example. You can't afford to be wrong, friends, and so we need to be right with God. I want to close this morning by talking about how that we can be sure that we are right with God. How can we be sure that we are right? Well, I'm going to mention four things. First of all, we can be sure that we are right with God if we have a desire and a care to be right. If we want to know truth, Jesus said we can find truth. Ask and it shall be given. Knock and it shall be opened. Seek and you shall find. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. If we really want the truth, we can come to know it. The proverb writer says in Proverbs 23 and verse 23, buy the truth and sell it not. We can know the truth. Jesus said in John 8:32, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. But we have to open up our Bibles and read and study and obey. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6 that those who hunger and thirst after righteousness will be filled. We have to strive to enter into the kingdom. Luke 13 verse 24. Jesus said in John 17 and verse 17 that if we desire to know God's will, we can know it, you see. And it comes when we search the scriptures and when we want to have a Bible study. We get our Bible down. We start reading the New Testament gospel. We start trying to understand it. And if we need help, we get someone to help us. I would be glad to come and study with you. But when we have a desire to be right and we open up our Bible and we start searching for what is right and what is true and what is truth, then Jesus promises us that we can find it. In Acts 17 and verse 11, those in Berea searched the scriptures when Paul was preaching. They searched to see if what he was saying was true, and they became Christians. So first of all, if we have a great desire and a care to be right, we can be right. Number two, if we examine the right evidence and accept what we are told. You know, some people are told what is right. They're led to the truth, but they still turn away. And one person that I'm thinking about is in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 16, the rich young ruler came to Jesus and wanted to know what to do to have eternal life. What must I do to have eternal life? And when Jesus told him, he walked away sorrowful. He didn't want to do it. So even though you are brought to a knowledge of the truth, even though you come to Jesus and hear what he says to do, you still have to do it. But Matthew 19:22, he walked away sorrowful because he was one that had great possessions and he didn't want to give them up when Jesus told them that he had to give them up. So after we examine the evidence, after we come to a knowledge of the truth, we still have to do what we're told. And so that is very important. In Matthew chapter 22, Jesus talks to some scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees there. In Matthew chapter 22 and verse 29, Jesus said, you do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. And so if we don't want to know what is right, if we don't accept what we're told in the scripture, we're still not going to be right with God. And then number three, We can be right if we begin at the right starting point. So many people are wrong religiously because they've been listening to what man has been saying. We need to listen to what God says in His Word. One reason we call this the Let the Bible Speak program, we want to let the Scriptures, the Bible, speak each and every Sunday. We don't care about what I think and I feel, what Chris Reeves thinks and feels, or any other man or woman. We're not going to be guided by what man says. We can never be right with God if we start with what man says. We can always be right with God if we start with what God says. We got to start with the right starting point. And I think about Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost, the first gospel sermon there where the church was established for the very first time. And Peter is preaching with the other apostles. And in Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, when the sermon is over with, when they heard this, they were pricked in the heart. You see, they wanted to know the truth. They wanted to accept the truth. And they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" They went to the right source. They asked Peter and the apostles because those were the only men who had the right to speak for Christ. He had gone back into heaven and he sent his apostles to go preach the gospel. The apostles were his only witnesses or representatives. And so they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They asked Peter and the rest of the apostles. You've got to go to the right source. And of course, Peter said, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins." And so number one, you have to care enough to be right. Number two, you have to accept what you are told. Number three, you have to start at the right starting point. And that is Jesus and His apostles and those words that are contained in the New Testament, not with what man says. And then, last of all, you have to continue in what is right. You have to start in what is right, and you have to continue throughout your life in what is right. John has much to say about this. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, he says that we have to continue walking in the light. We have to walk in the light of God's truth. In chapter 2, verses 3 through 6, we know that we abide in Him if we keep His commandments. We have to keep living right and following the commandments of God. We have to do the will of the Father, 1 John 2 and verse 17. We have to do what is right and good and live by righteous principles, 1 John 2 and 29. We have to stay away from sin. We can't have a life and a habit of sin. Everyone that doeth sin doeth lawlessness, 1 John 3 and verse 4. If there is sin in our life, we have to get rid of that. And in 1 John 3, 21 through 24, we have to keep His commandments if we're going to be pleasing in His sight. In 1 John 4 and verse 21, "And this is the commandment that we have from Him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also." We love those who are around us. In chapter 5, verses 2 through 4 again, keeping His commandments. And so we continue by following the commandments laid down by Jesus in the New Testament. Friend, we're out of time. You cannot afford to be wrong when you talk about your soul's relationship with God. Be right. And if we can help you to be right today and obey the gospel, let us do that. Thank you for listening and have a good day.